rectum.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Game Saturday at my house. Right. It was great. We all had a good time.
We did.
We all bust balls.
Mm-hmm.
We all laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's just six guys getting together being men.
Right.
Men. We are men.
Now, because I wanted this day to be perfect,
mm-hmm.
I knew a fire would be a fantastic touch because it was kind of cold
and gray
and misty and gray.
Right.
So, the boys are coming over at 12 noon. Here's exactly what I did, and now we have pinpointed my mistake.
Okay?
Ooh.
Yeah, this makes sense.
10 o'clock in the morning. I have Frida come downstairs, open the flue.
Good.
In the fireplace. She puts her head in. She goes, it's open.
Great.
10 a.m., we get a fire going.
Yep.
Perfect. All I got to do now, when the boys come over, I just keep adding logs.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
You're nice and toasty in the poker parlor.
So it's 10:30. And by now, I got a beautiful, a picture-perfect fire going.
Right.
Down in the basement. 11 o'clock, take a shower. 11:30, setting out the ashtrays. I'm getting cigars ready. I got the little mini refrigerator stocked with the kind of beer you like and the kind of beer the junkies like. I got regular Pepsi for Buzz. I got Diet Pepsi for everybody else. I mean, I got it going on. I'm totally prepared.
Yep.
11:30, half hour till game time. Then I say, you know what? I need to add another log.
A big log.
And what I do is I go out back, and I get not a little log.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get
a Lincoln log.
Right, a big-ass log.
Right.
I mean,
log.
I get a huge, like a tree stump is what I get.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring it in, and I go, you know what? Before I add that to the fire, I'm going to put another one of those little fire starter logs on.
I didn't know. I didn't know that you threw that in there.
So
even though the fire was going, and it would have probably caught the log on fire.
Well, but I didn't know if it would or not, so I added now not one of those big fire starter logs, just one of the
A little stick of fuel,
a little mini one, like the size of a candy bar.
Yeah.
But still, as I found out later, still very volatile,
very powerful. Very powerful, all of those items.
Yes,
what they have is they have fluid in them. They have, you know, liquid that burns. That's why they go so good.
So I put in the extra little thing to make more fire.
Right.
And now there's just the logs that my wife and I have already put in, they're nearly down to nothing.
Okay.
I go, beautiful. I get out this big stump. I go, put it in, kind of roll it in.
Right.
Standing there just admiring my work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I fold my arms like this and I go, ha. I'm the man. I am the friggin' man. I got my buddies coming over to play cards. Mm-hmm. I got it going on. And all of a sudden, I notice that there is smoke that is just billowing out of the front of the fireplace. I mean, worse than the last time. Just billowing out. So the first thing I do, because I don't want to get in trouble with my wife, mm-hmm. first thing I do is I run outside. And now it's cloudy, so I can't tell if the smoke's coming out of the chimney or not, right?
Right.
Keep in mind, she opened the flue.
Right. So you think everything's cool.
Flue was open.
Right.
Now I'm standing there going, well, it must be because I put the big log on and maybe the starter fire log, maybe that kind of broke and it's just caused a bigger fire.
There's too much fire for the fireplace.
So what I do is I think, well, I'll go in the other room and get, we got one of those big fans. Mm-hmm. So I go in the other room, get the fan, I'll plug it in. By this time, there's just a little smoke in the room.
Mm-hmm.
I go in the basement, I get the fan, I come back. You cannot see the track lighting in the ceiling.
Oh, dear.
Because the smoke is so thick. And while I'm standing there flipping out about this, it's exactly at that moment that all over the house I start hearing, beep, beep, beep. Every smoke alarm in the house has gone off now.
Later on, I asked him, I said, how come your smoke detectors aren't going off? Because you've disabled all of them because they were all screaming at you, right?
Everyone. Yeah, I know that our smoke detectors work. So, they're going off all over the house. The dogs are barking. I go upstairs. My kid is studying his schoolwork. My wife is on the computer. I go upstairs and I go, it's happened again! It's happened again!
Smoke pouring into the house.
She goes, what? I said, I don't know. I was flabbergasted. I said, you opened the flue. I started the fire. It was a great fire. It was a fabulous fire. I only just put a log on, and now smoke everywhere. She goes, settle down. It can't be that bad.
Right.
Settle down. Don't worry about it. I'm positive. We checked it out.
No problem.
She comes down there, and I mean not an exaggeration, that the smoke is absolutely black, and as what's it? What's that? About 2 feet I'm holding my hands with.
Yep.
Two, like that on the ceiling. Just 2 feet of smoke. My son,
thick black smoke.
My son falls down to the ground and crawls out of the room.
He's a smart boy. Right?
This is how bad it is.
Yeah.
Now it's precisely at this time. Rita says, "What did you do?" I said, "Honey, you put a log in." It's right at this time I hear, Buzz is here. And, 20 minutes early.
Yeah.
Buzz Burbank.
Hi.
So he wins the punctuality award, but we all compete for that.
I said to Bart, "Go get Buzz. Whatever you do, don't bring him down here, right? Because I'm still thinking that there's going to be some way that I'm going to save this without you guys finding out about
right.
it. Right? But, of course, what's the first thing Bart does? Brings him right down and goes, hey, Buzz is here.
Come on down and see the fire.
Now, at this point, fire's still going.
Right.
I've got the glass doors on the front of the fireplace closed.
I didn't know that it lasted this long. I didn't know that it was simmering for this amount of time.
Yeah. Now, Buzz is standing there. Bless his heart. I said this about Buzz. Good friend. Trying to help.
I did try to help.
I'm standing there, and I said, I got the flue open.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell this is. And Buzz starts saying, maybe there's something caught in there. Maybe there's a bird's nest in there. It's
Santa Claus. Somebody said that. Was that you, Rob, that said that?
Now, keep in mind at this point, no one in the room, right now it's me, Buzz, Bart, and Frida,
mm-hmm.
can't even open our eyes because there's so much smoke in there. At this point, Buzz says, well, it's not that bad in here. It's not really that smoky in here. Well, then one by one, people start arriving. Next person to arrive, just my luck, it's Mike.
Mm-hmm. Don comes
Mike with the food.
Running out of the house, and almost, it was almost as though you were trying to block my way, because you stood up there, and I was confused momentarily, because you said, you put your hands up in the air.
You're the only guy that I didn't want to come over and see that I'd done the thing again.
You put your hands up in the air and said, we have a flu problem. And I'm like, oh, people with diarrhea and vomiting all over the house? I didn't even think flu. I said, oh, the fireplace flu. And that's when I walked in. And
you got a big smile on your face. Say, let me
go downstairs. And there, the smoke is like taking a journey up along the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And it is about 2-3 feet. Well, this time it's just all over the place.
Right. Now the fire's still going.
Whole house smells of smoke.
Now I'm saying to Frida, where is the fire extinguisher? Now, I've got Buzz and Mike standing in the dining room holding the sandwiches.
Did you notice my big idiot move when I went down to your fireplace? Feeling the top of the fireplace as though, you know, I was feeling like a fire inspector.
Look, smart.
It was cool. It was cool. It was not
did no good, but you looked like you knew what you were doing.
In fact, I feel like an idiot for not helping after I heard what the problem was.
There was nothing that, listen, there was nothing anybody could do.
We got a heat problem there.
Yeah, because like the fire.
metal items in the fireplace starting to melt at this point.
Once again, as you can see, the tips of my hands.
I saw it when you reached down.
Blistered.
To fully grab the handle of the fireplace insert and just went, ah!
And, you know, Frida said to me, don't touch that. That's hot.
Right. It was hot. I mean, that was unbelievably hot.
And I said, honey, I got to open the doors up. If we're going to put the fire out, I got to open the doors up. I open the doors up. Ow, 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 ow. So my hands are burning. We can't find the fire extinguisher. Now, by this point, Eric's come over. Johnny's come over.
Yeah, we're all there.
It's 20 minutes now. Now it's 12 noon. We're supposed to be starting a poker party,
right.
But everybody is just standing around in my basement watching this fire burn uncontrollably.
Trying to figure out what's going to happen until your wife came to the rescue with the watering pail.
My wife comes down with the most retarded looking, it's a big water pail that she goes out and she waters her flowers with.
She had it full, though.
And it's like from Pee-wee's Playhouse, because it's real big, and it's got a million holes coming out of the head like a shower head.
Right.
Go away, Mr. Fire!
So she comes down and she goes, you open the doors? I go, yes, look, smoke is billowing out.
This is when I cringed because I knew it was going to happen when she did this.
Yeah. She starts pouring the water on the fire, and now worse than the smoke.
This is steam and smoke. Well, it is smoke mostly. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
So now everybody is like coughing, and everybody's standing outside, and we cannot see.
When she put the water on, although she had to do it, this is when it became unbelievable. I mean, this is when you wanted to get out of the room because we were dealing with a health problem there.
So at this point, everybody goes upstairs, and me and Frida go downstairs.
Right.
Because now the fire is out. Now what we got to do is get the crap out of the fireplace and try to start ventilating the basement.
Mm-hmm.
She goes over with these big, like tongs that we have, these big like metal tongs that you use to take the wood out of the fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
She goes over, very expertly, picks up the piece, the huge tree stump that I put in there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And like, because, you know, I see her arms shaking like this. Cause she's
tough to maneuver that.
She's a girl, right? I'm much stronger than she is.
Right.
Well, I am, guys. She goes, she gets into the back porch. Ah! She puts it down. I said, honey, this is man's work.
Right.
Let me take the rest of the stuff out of there. Give me those tongs. She gives me the tongs. I go over. Now all that's left in there, a couple little pieces of the other fire, and of course, the massive fake thing. I mean, the thing that's like the size of the candy bar.
Right.
So what I do is, the fire starter thing. I go in with the tongs, and I very gingerly pick this thing up. And as I start walking towards the door, the thing falls and breaks because it's very pliable,
crumbles,
right?
Yeah.
Thing crumbles, and all of a sudden,
it's like particle board, and it's full of fuel.
Carpet on fire now.
Mm. Well, that's because that thing's got all that, you know, kerosene in it.
Right.
They
so now, carpet on fire.
I didn't even know this. We were upstairs having a very pleasant conversation while all this is going on.
Now I'm doing this. Now I'm going, I'm stepping on the phone. Carpet's on fire! Honey, the carpet's on fire! Fake lock, bro. Carpet's on fire!
Just happy. I'm just lucky everybody lives through this.
She comes over with the water. This is all over the carpet. All right.
I didn't even know that happened.
Now, fake log is out. Real log is out.
Smoke is still in house.
Smoke. Oh. The worst.
Is your house still smell of smoke?
No, it finally didn't last night.
Good.
It took
good.
2 days. So, what we decided to do, what we're going to do is move the card game upstairs temporarily.
Good move.
To the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
My wife goes downstairs and she's really pissed at me.
Mm-hmm.
She said, listen, I don't know what you did to F this up.
Right.
But I'm going to find out what you did, and you're never allowed to do anything with the fireplace again.
Now
go upstairs, play cards with your friends, and I'm going to try to clean up down here.
Oh, God, it was terrible. It really was.
I go upstairs, and everybody's having lunch. We haven't started playing cards yet. I'm feeling guilty. I go back downstairs. I go, honey, please let me help. And by this time, the smoke has started to clear out a little bit, and she goes, look, I just had new carpeting put in down here in the basement. Look what you did. And in the carpeting, there are these huge burn holes. I mean, big black charred spots.
Shouldn't have picked up the little doohickey with the tongs.
No, I shouldn't have. So finally, listen, everything was cool then.
The smoke cleared out a little bit.
We aired it out as much as we could.
Right.
We played cards up in my dining room for about an hour. Then we moved it downstairs. Mm-hmm. And although everybody, when they left my house at about 4 o'clock, reeked of smoke.
You didn't notice it until you left. I didn't notice until I was standing in the mall next to a lady who was kind of looking at me. You know, like perhaps I was a chimney sweep. That's she was kind of.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I got some stares in the movies because we.
Yeah, it actually gets inside your clothes. You don't know it. And, you know, what's the best thing to do after you've got a smoke-filled room? Then you bring the cigars out and light the cigars out. So you've got.
So we were all smoking cigars out of the six of us. Five of us were smoking cigars, so it was like.
Right.
The room was emptying out of all of the smoke that had been in the chimney, but now it was being filled up with the smoke from the cigars.
A lot of people normally have to go a good 3-4 years to get that many carcinogens, and I think we managed to do it in one afternoon.
So we had a great game of cards. We already told you about that. I was lucky enough to be the big winner. We had lots of fun. Everybody goofed on everybody.
Right.
About 4:15, my wife came downstairs, and she says, listen, you know, we're going to go see the Star Trek movie. I mean, you know, our family's going to go. So everybody had to split.
Mm-hmm. Was I your buddy on that, incidentally? Was I the good wrangler when I was leaving as far as motivating
Absolutely.
Everybody to get going?
Absolutely.
I just knew that you said something like the movie time was the 4:40 or something, some early time like that. So I'm like, oh, come on, little doggies. Let's get going. Everybody out right now.
You're fantastic. You did it much meaner than that. You said,
yep.
Eric. Time to leave. John, go. Buzz, see you later.
Let's go.
Let's get out of here.
These people have a movie to see. Well, you know, we've been in your home for over 4 hours,
right.
And that, your wife, very nice, very understanding, and then it was time to go.
So we go to the movies, come back home. Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
She says, go down and clean up the mess. So I go down and she says, hold on, before you clean up the mess, let's figure out what happened.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was hard to. You couldn't examine what the flu situation was because it was so hot. You couldn't go near it. And the smoke, you just couldn't take care of that.
The flames were gigantic. The fireplace was about a million degrees again.
It was unbelievable that heat.
Finally, we figured it out. When everything was fine, my wife opened the flue and we made the first fire. When I went and put the little log on,
right.
No problem there. Then when I took the giant stump and kind of rolled it on top of the existing fire.
Mm-hmm.
When I kind of rolled it on its way in, it hit the flue.
Oh, the flue handle.
Oh,
which
God.
Hangs down in the air,
that
right?
Makes sense.
Right.
That makes sense.
Sure.
Because they're on a very precarious little hook system.
So mm-hmm. That thing is hanging down. Like, you know, if you look in the back of somebody's throat.
Like a pallet?
Yeah, like right. That little thing in the back of your throat.
Mm.
Like, that thing's hanging down. I just tossed the log in, and when I did that, it hit that part of the flue, which went and closed up,
right.
Which is why, all of a sudden, billowing smoke throughout the house.
You were about 8 feet away from the fireplace when you decided to throw the log in, right?
Yeah, I wasn't real close.
You strong.
I made a little bit of a sporting event.
And it shut the flue, and then you're in that same situation.
The flue was closed, and then the house was full of smoke. And
it's like trying to get the ball in the clown's mouth at the end of miniature golf. That's the way you threw that log into the fire. I can make it from right here.
It's going like this. Okay.
Done.
Problem solved.
Well, you know what you need
to
do.
So it was very, very embarrassing. You know, it was very embarrassing because all of this was happening right as everybody was coming over for the big poker game, Jesus
Christ.
Well,
you looked a little freaked out and said, we got a flu problem. I was just relieved that there wasn't, a lot of illness in the house when I got there.
And you're right. You're the one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz, I don't care if he sees me like that. Rob, I don't care.
Right.
Johnny Cakes, EB.
Came out like he was
bring it on. Stuff. But I said, oh, my God. First thing I said, we got to get this cleaned up before Mike gets here. And I mean, you know, I don't know why I feel that way because
I don't either.
I would have talked about it either way on the air, but it's
right.
Like,
of course,
of all the guys there,
you didn't want it to happen.
I didn't want it to be with you there.
Didn't want it to happen twice, and there it was. And hey, we played
killing.
We played our poker, and it worked out. It worked out fine.
It was fine.
And now you know your way around a fireplace.
I am never allowed. I'm never allowed to do anything with a fire again.
See, that's wrong. That's it. You should be allowed. You should be allowed so you know what's going on.
No. Well, I don't want to now. Not until my fingers heal. Look at all the burns I got on the end of my fingers. I got a bunch of blisters on the end of my fingers.
Terrible.
That got so hot so quick, and but everybody was fine. No one was killed.
So that was the poker game. And we said all the other stuff at the poker game before.
That's right, and everybody had a marvelous time.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yeah. Buzz is a bad dealer. I'm just funny.
There's brother. That.
We're just kidding about that. I mean, we're not kidding about it, but we're just kidding about it.
And you're right. I am a bad dealer. Mm-hmm. More all practice right. for me.
We got pissed before when we brought that up, so don't get pissed now.
Well, you said something about the money.
What about the money?
Well, you said something about the money earlier when you brought it up.
What did we bring up?
What about the money?
About the bad dealer, and then I won the pots at the end, the side bets at the end, remember?
Yeah.
And you said something earlier about the money, and I said I would give the money back. That's what happened.
What?
It's not important. Everything's
fine. No, really. Come on. I'm not busting your chops now. We said that you got the palsy when you deal the cards. That you're a very bad dealer of the cards.
Right. We talked about that at the beginning of the show, and you're right. I agree with that. That's correct. I am a poor dealer.
Oh, I know. And then I said you should give us the money back that you won.
For slowing down the game. Right.
And that's... He's absolutely right.
I should be happy to do that.
You should give every nickel back.
I will do that.
We'll wait during the commercial break to get every dime back. And Buzz, I win the award for being the angriest at you sitting to your right. Mm-hmm. I was sitting to your immediate right, and I was probably, you know, that was during that 1.5 hour period of time that I was losing and looking for anyone to blame.
I understand.
Which is what you do when you lose.
I understand that, too.
Anyone to blame. But then I started winning, and life was good again.
Let me just tell you how the speed of the game moved.
Uh-huh.
And really, generally, this is how it went. Me, very quickly. Here's the order went. Here's how we're sitting around the table. Me,
right.
Rob, Johnny Cakes,
mm-hmm.
Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Four of us, like, bam, bam, I'm bam. In, I'm in, I'm in,
very
I'm
quick.
In. Mm-hmm. Then you got to the speed bump brothers, because it was Buzz, followed by
Eric Bickle, who seriously, I have played golf with EB, and he is now, officially, I thought it was just on the golf course, he is officially the slowest man in the world.
So we figured out what we have to do the next time we play cards.
That's right.
Put you on one side of the table
right. mm-hmm.
and Eric on the other side.
Give you guys time and that, well, they'll still have to deal at a certain point, but give you guys time to process whatever you're processing with two cards in Texas Hold'em.
Because that was...
Give you time to make the decision.
Eric would sit there and look at his cards.
Right.
And everybody at the whole table would bet. And it would come to Eric and he'd go...
Yeah.
Hold on. It drove me nuts. Look at his cards. I wonder about when Eric started talking in his high voice.
Oh, I'm getting lousy at them cards here. I'm a big loser. I'm a big loser. I'm paying for you to go to the movies tonight. My fault. I quit.
Well, I guess that's what everybody that plays cards with a regular group of people. You just got to deal with everybody else's style.
Sure.
Or lack thereof. That's what we all have to deal with. That's the way. But the good thing is people get better every time we play. When we all first started, we were rookies, too.
Yeah.
And I missed the first game, so I'm a game behind everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell myself.
Okay, but yeah. Keep telling that to yourself. Well, it was a good game, and we next meet.
Yeah.
We next meet next month to
next
play
month.
A game.
Next month. And you don't always have to be the host, but if you like to, I think everybody likes coming over to your pad to do that.
As long as I've lost my driver's license, I kind of have to be the host, unless somebody wants to come pick me up.
Okay, if that answers that question, we'll see at your house next month.
Be at my place. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
CJK's Bill O'Reilly.
The problem here is...
Get down to the Red Rooster store in Cardston and pick up your can of Lysol today. Either regular or fresh mint too.
The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, honey. The Don and Mike Show.
The band is here, man. A half of Loverboy is here.
Right.
Well, screw the rest of them. You know what this must be? This would be like when a group breaks up and there was a couple of guys you didn't really need anyway to make all the records and everything. Is that it? Is the microphone on here? I'm not getting anything, boys.
All right, we've got a real big setup.
Where
a little more
at?
Than we normally hook up
there.
Right here.
Hold on, right there. There you go. All right, hey, Mike.
All right, Mike Reno and Paul Dean are here
from
Loverboy.
Hello, Paul Dean over here on this left side or wherever we are.
All right.
Most excellent show, I must add.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, we've got all kinds of
talk for a couple on the way over.
Yeah, we got
a. You heard that, did you? All right, good.
We got a lot of calls about you, man. A lot of calls from girls who. Spent time with you. What did that girl say the other day that
she met him somewhere, and right. then he took her to his house.
And he was a really nice guy, and we were just trying to get all the dirt we could, and she said nothing happened, that you were a perfect gentleman, mm-hmm. and that she had a great time, and, you know, we were saying, yeah, well, then what happened? And she wouldn't say anything, so she didn't fess up.
That's because she had to sign the waiver. So listen.
I called back and called Reno drunk the other night. I want to hear the rest of it.
Yeah, he'll call back. Yeah, listen to the show after you guys leave, because right. that's when all the real good calls happen.
This is kind of cool.
They're really setting up here now. Loverboy, you guys for a while, Loverboy, man. You
we
were
took a breather.
You were it. What happened?
We needed some time off. Music changed. Mm-hmm. All the lyrics got negative and people tried to kill themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We couldn't compete. We couldn't write songs that were that negative and awful sounding. So mm-hmm. we decided to raise the kids and become managers of baseball leagues and take the kids to hockey and teach them how to be young little people.
Mm-hmm. Where's your bandana, man?
Actually, I have it stuffed down my pants. But I didn't want to tell you. But I let the cat in the bag, haven't I?
You know, you don't look... You look grown up now. You don't look like you did in your video.
Well, that's what my mom was saying.
I guess so. Well, yeah, here
she
you go. Thank you.
You left some of the old albums.
Rob brought in some of his Loverboy albums.
I was a kid, now I'm the man.
Okay. So here's Mike Reno right here, and there he is standing next to us.
And that's the look. That's the classic look.
This is you, right, Paul?
If I put my headband on, it might... Maybe you'd recognize me.
Oh, I don't know. Boy, you don't look anything the same. Do you sound the same?
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. That's the important thing.
And when you boys are going out on the road now, is it anything like it was before?
It's similar.
Similar?
We're away from home.
Yes.
And we're playing concerts. So that's the similar part.
And everything else has changed?
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. How really? So? How has it changed?
Well, we don't have the lyrics yet anymore. We had to eat a bit of humble pie,
yeah.
But at least we're still doing what we do, because we don't do anything else but what we're going to do for you here and what we do tonight.
So if somebody comes out to see you guys, you're not going to say like, hey, hi, we're from Loverboy. Now here's, you know, a song we've been working on for the last 10 years when people want to hear
classic.
Turn Me Loose and all that other good stuff.
We're going to let them have both barrels.
We do some new stuff, yeah.
Okay, but you do the old stuff, too.
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
You got it.
Good, well, perform for us.
We'd love to hear you guys perform Mike Reno and Paul Dean from Loverboy.
Last night we did two encores. The crowd wouldn't let us leave.
Wow. It's got to be fun.
It's tough to sing it afternoon, but I've given it my best shot.
Oh, no, you guys are fantastic.
That's great.
Do another one. Do another part of that for us.
Yeah,
come
just
on.
A little bit. We, you know, we're fans. That's why you're here.
Come on. This is great. Do another one.
Zen me, baby.
Well.
What do you want to do, Paul?
Is it now? Is that the way you do it? Paul just starts doing it. I mean, is that the way it works? And you just follow him? Is it? Or
20 years we've been doing this.
Is that? And he'll just
he
start with
doing
the
it. And I do whatever I do.
Now do you need the whole? Do you need the whole band? If you're gonna do like Turn Me Loose?
If you can remember this.
Yeah.
like your real song.
Can you do Working for the Weekend? Are you set up to do Working for the Weekend? Because, I mean, that's my
favorite.
You have
to make funny faces when you play the drums.
All right. Okay. All right. I'll make funny faces.
He's good at that.
We're going to need a cowbell.
All right.
A cowbell. Cowbell, please.
Do we have anything that we can substitute for a cowbell? Anything at all?
Are you aware how many idiot disc jockeys on Fridays at 5 o'clock go, hey, tell your boss to shove it into 5 o'clock whistle?
And when I was a club disc jockey, when I used to do that many, many moons ago, that was it. Everybody would go mental for that song.
Here's the bells we have. Tell me which one you like. Can you turn this up, Rob? Here's what we have. We have... or I have this one.
Okay.
That's all we have.
Oh, and of course, those are two good choices. I'm liking the bell.
This one right here.
Give me three of those bells.
So much better than originally they said to us.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even know you were coming, Paul. And they just said, Mike Reno. And we thought, well, it's okay. Do you think he might sing some of his songs for us? And
I kind of look like I used to.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I'm really stuck on that.
You sound great. You sound great. And, you know, it's nice when guys come to play. Yeah. I mean, it really is.
You know, you look like Jay. You look like the dad in Home Alone now.
Thank you. I am the dad in Home Alone. I got three kids, for crying out loud.
How old are your kids, Mike?
10.
10. They're all 10.
You had triplets?
Yeah.
They're all 10.
Well, I got twins, mm-hmm. and one's an older 10 and almost 11.
Oh, that's great.
So we got like a... they're all 10. It's funny. You can't.
Wow.
Not many people can say all the kids are 10.
That's kind of weird when you say, how old are your kids? And you say 10. And I was kind of sitting there,
how old my dogs are.
How old are your dogs?
10.
How about you, Paul?
I got one little guy. He's a year and a half.
Yeah, hey, you're an old guy, right?
No, I'm 52 next week.
52?
Yeah, right. I'm a bit,
you've held up really well, Paul.
That means you're going to be... You're going to be 70 when he graduates high school?
Shut up.
All right. Hey, here's a question. From this album right here, I used to play the hell out of this album, Get Lucky. Is that your butt?
Be careful. Did you like that butt?
I just want to know if that's your butt. I spent a lot of time... This was a good make-out album.
It was, yeah.
That's the biggest selling album, isn't it?
That was, I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. We did a few soundtracks at Outside.
Right. Yeah, look at this. Has all the good ones on, right. Working for the Weekend,
right.
When It's Over, mm-hmm. Lucky Ones. I love that. I love that Gangs in the Street song. Since before a CD when you would know what the tracks were,
right.
You just knew. Side one, cut four. That was a good one to put on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would spend a lot of time with the album in the corner. Is that your butt?
Well, the hand is obviously male.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The butt, however... would be a 14-year-old girl.
Oh,
really?
Really? Then I don't feel so bad.
I may get sued over that.
No guilty, huh?
Care to elaborate on that at all?
Nice.
Ooh, nice. Ooh.
So now you can say, hey, that's a nice butt.
All right, and she would be, you know, she wouldn't be 52 now, would she? No, she would be, all right.
Okay, how about one more? Would you do one more for us?
One more. That's all we need. One.
You could do a new one or an old one.
Waiting to hear the night.
Yeah.
The night. The best night to do it.
The best night, yes.
This is called Waiting for the Night.
Waiting for the Night. Lover Boy. On your more music station, everybody.
Sweating every day now. Trying to make a buck. Looking my fingers down to the bone. Telling my boss where to get off. It's like trying to squeeze blood. So cut me a slice of the American pie. Every day around noon,
like doing
we're the
show.
Speakers. Thank you, Washington.
Thank
when
you, we baby.
When people come in ready to play, man,
that's
and
great.
You guys did it. We really appreciate you coming by.
That was nice, man.
That's great. That's great. And you still got it. If anybody hasn't told you that, you still got it.
Mike Reno. Hey, Paul Dean. These were the real guys from Loverboy.
Yeah, thanks for stopping by, guys.
Make sure you listen to the show on the way out, because then you'll hear all the girls calling about
very
you.
Cool. Very
okay.
cool.
These might be some of these calls coming through right now, as a matter of fact.
Hundreds and hundreds of calls.
Very cool. It's nice to have guys on the show and not be let down.
Yeah, absolutely. We, you know, you never know when you have people, especially when you want people to play some music for you, and you guys came in and made it special.
Maybe you guys can relate to this. We had Jimmy J.J. Walker on the show.
Now, when you think Jimmy J.J. Walker, you think...
What do you think?
Dynamite.
Right. So we said to him, hey, say dynamite. And he said... That's not what I'm about now.
Yeah, and he proceeded to talk about the serious side of life, and that's not what you booked Jimmy Walker for.
Not to compare you to Jimmy Walker, because you are so much bigger than Jimmy Walker.
And
never could be.
And he couldn't hit those high notes.
Yeah. No.
No way.
No. Very good. Well, all right, get out of here, guys. We can talk about it. Thank you. Come on, guys. Get out of here now.
All right.
That's how we do it. We don't take a break. You just leave, and then we talk about you as you're leaving.
Don't worry. We won't keep any
that
of your
could
stuff.
Be dangerous.
All right. They were good.
Yeah. Right.
Man, they were good.
Very Mike cool. Reno and Paul Dean from Loverboy.
That was very cool. That was like a private concert.
Yeah. Man, he still got it. He still got that voice.
Absolutely. They did all the good songs, too.
That's yeah. cool.
Yeah, baby.
Right.
I was going to ask him to sing the song about Laura Korn that someone sent in.
Somebody faxed in some lyrics about our ill-fated relationship with Laura Korn.
But I'd rather sing it myself. I think I could do it justice.
Sure. Okay, very good.
Oh, yeah.
It's the candle in the wind.
Don, I know you can do this justice, especially after hearing that great voice of Mike Reno. Now we can hear you sing.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Guys, next week, are y'all going to have maybe Air Supply or Bay City Rollers?
Oh, eat me.
Yeah, that's nasty, man.
And then he runs away.
Yes, and he hangs up. The cruelty. The naked cruelty of our listeners.
And we're having Air Supply on next week.
Yeah. yeah.
Okay. And then Neil Diamond.
That's right. Steve Perry will be our guest.
Right. Part of our great superstar lineup.
This is the Don and Mike Show.